Jhené and Gola Jr., the podcast.
That haunting feeling may have come for a team we least expected last night. It's Jhené and Gola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Gola Jr., Jhené Egbunike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the show, Penzo Performance Line. And we got a couple of winners coming up in about 10 minutes. We could talk to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That's going to be awesome. NBA Hall of Famer, certified Laker legend here. As we look at the status of the NBA offseason, everything that's going on, money going out left and right, Jhené. These guys are finding the bag early and often this NBA offseason.
So thinking about the NBA draft and how much attention they had and then free agency and all the money, the latest is another Nigerian, Bam Adebayo, getting the bag. I think it was 163 mil, and he earned every one of those dollars with how hard he plays. So yes, Nigerians, stay winning.
Going out there and essentially being the Bucks buster on his own for that Miami Heat squad there. So plenty of money going out there. We get to check in with the College Football Playoff Committee. The first round of rankings from the CFP come out tonight. 7 o'clock Eastern, we're looking forward. We'll take you right up to that. Tell you what you should be looking for heading into that, what we're going to find out about this year's uneven college football season, putting it kindly. But, Jhené, last night, I shouldn't say I wasn't prepared, but for Jared Goff and the Rams offense to go out and do what they did and look so effective against a defense we know as the kind of firepower in the Bucs, and then to watch Tom Brady just after we had the conversation yesterday about Patrick Mahomes being that guy that you can't leave too much time at the end of the game for Tom Brady to get into that same situation and spit the bit in a way that is really uncomfortable for all of us was a shocker on Monday Night Football as the Rams get a big win.
And I think that's funny because you mentioned Patrick Mahomes and how he'll have an opportunity going up against the Bucks to really certify, like, I've got next. But speaking of the Bucks and Tom, it was so disappointing. And, you know, my lens of football has largely come through my love of my fantasy team. I think it's a love-hate relationship at this point.
Because it's mostly hate. Your fantasy team
hates you. Can you explain to people what I texted you last night?
What, just the crushing defeat that you were dealt? I mean, like, Jhené, and you're losing, like, a little bit. We talked about yesterday. Would you rather your best effort go out there and you lose a close one like you had happen to the Raiders on Sunday Night Football against the Kansas City Chiefs, or would you have more closer to what happened last night? You have been dealing with all soul-crushing your best effort getting denied.
And the reason I bring it up is because I had the Bucks defense, who really was a letdown in fantasy. This whole season, I've been like, yes, this has been one of my best picks. And if you see what the Bucks defense, they weren't able to, I mean, you know how people say, stop a nosebleed in the times that mattered most. And, you know, they gave me 1 point. And then also I had Chris Godwin, who had a nice touchdown, you know, late. And I was like, okay, lost by 1 point, America. Your girl lost 126 to 125. And so watching the Bucks, I had a vested interest in seeing them deliver. And, you know, we saw the stat, if you're watching the game, like the stat of how productive Tom has done, you know, over the course of his career with that late drive, that final drive. But now you're seeing a guy in Patrick Mahomes be able to do it. And Tom Brady, it just seems like things have not clicked for them in a way that we see some big moments with big wins. And we also see some big moments with big losses.
Jhené and Gola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Gola Jr., Jhené Egbunike, reminding you to be a part of Jhené and Gola Jr. Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. How worried are we about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? At Jhené, at Mike Gola Jr., ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. The college football season's heating up, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. Now, this is where it gets interesting, Jhené, because you're right. We're rarely accustomed to seeing Tom Brady respond like this in these situations. Two crucial interceptions last night in certain portions of the game where we can look at it and we can talk about miscommunication. These just look like balls that Tom Brady put in uncomfortable spots that got picked off by a Rams defense that you now look where they sit. First in yards per game in the NFL, second in points per game, second in defensive efficiency behind only the Pittsburgh Steelers in those spots. And they're doing it in the way, Jhené, that is probably the most lethal in pro football. When you can just send four, and really it's send three accompanied by Aaron Donald wreaking havoc and raising hell over everyone, you're a really difficult team to stop, provided Jared Goff can get corralled by Sean McVay's play calling the way he has been. So I don't know, Jhené, this is interesting to start to figure out how much stock we start to put into the way the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have responded so far in the biggest games they've played this season, whether it was what happened for them against the Saints twice on these occasions now, or looking at what happened last night. It's starting to get a little bit uncomfortable for them.
And you know what's nuts? You know, you talked about the Rams defense, but like offensive game of their lives too, in the sense that Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods became the first Rams wide receivers to each catch at least 10 passes in the same game. And Jared Goff, it's sort of like when you get that overperforming Goff, plus you have that defense, that offense and defense, they're formidable. But you know, the thing that sort of makes this interesting for the Bucks is because as much as we were a couple weeks ago talking about the NFC and like this is a team, and I think even Stephen A said this today, I'm still taking the Bucks. We're in this position. But I think it's interesting because you're still taking the Bucks while they're still two games behind the Saints, or at least, you know, when you go to the win-loss column. And the Saints, again, we talked about it with Taysom Hill. The reason why he's able to find his stride is because he has opponents where he looks even better. And so, you know, I think that's the most mind-boggling part here. It's like you expect the Bucks to deliver in big moments, but they have been consistent. It just seems like when they mess up, it's on the national stage. And also it has a, all-time great in Tom Brady. And that's one of those things where you're departing from what reality has been for so long.
That is interesting to think about, Chiney. At this point, the Bucks this season are 1-3 in primetime right now, which we talked about this the other day. It's not the most representative sample size, but it's the one most of us see. And when the team that you've gotten swept by in the regular season is the other chief contender for the best team in the NFC and the New Orleans Saints, it makes it all the more pressing. Now, what becomes interesting as we look at this, because we saw yesterday Antonio Brown starting to really gel with Tom Brady. We've seen some difficulties for this offense at times to get off the ground at certain points. And Bruce Arians, their head coach, was asked if he would take over play calling potentially. Here's what he had to say.
Oh no, I thought he called a good ball game. We got to execute better. When guys are open, we got to hit them, and we can't misread coverage. We got to protect a little bit better when we do have guys deep, and let him hit that guy instead of have that pressure that cost us the interception. As a collective, everybody's got to play better.
But again, Chiney, we look at that and say, all right, if you're talking about the NFC, the teams you're going to have to go through are the ones that can challenge you with the four-down rush in the way that the Saints can, in the way that the Rams can in this spot. And so I don't know how, until further notice, the Saints, who were a lot of people's preseason picks to represent the Super Bowl, don't all of a sudden, provided we slot Drew Brees back in and he's able to go after dealing with his rib injury, to be the team that everyone expected them from the start, despite the slow start, despite the lack of arm strength from Drew for a lot of the season.
Now, this is kind of crazy. You know, I'm wondering, did last night's game change a lot for everyone when it comes to these divisions? You know, the NFC West with the Rams and then the NFC South with the Bucks, because not too long ago, we were taking the Bucks overall in the NFC, but now it sort of looks like, oh, a lot of people, even with Taysom Hill, you know, transitioning at quarterback, taking the Saints. And I think it was even earlier last week, we were saying, oh, we're taking the Seahawks, but now look at the Rams at 7-3 tied with the Seahawks in that division. Did last night change your mind on any of this?
Well, Chiney, you know, it was a reminder of what these teams can be, but we've seen, and unfortunately this holds true in a lot of postseasons, when it gets down to it, we have seen playoff teams make Jared Goff very uncomfortable by going to some of that Patriot-style 6-1 defense up front, taking away the outside zone game they do so well. But last night, a lot of that got taken away. That wasn't a dominant rushing performance by the Rams, and they were still able to get over in that spot. What becomes curious going forward is now we're seeing the discomfort, some of the turnovers start to pop up again in this offense that last year had a lot of these same problems. Like, Brady is going to get a lot of the conversation here. We're going to look at Brady and Belichick and the way that they're both having up and down looks at life after one another and make a lot of comparisons about, well, they need each other in this situation. That, or getting used to doing one thing one way for a long time and then having to undo that, is a pretty difficult process. And trying to do that with the weight of Super Bowl or bust might even be harder than any of us could have possibly imagined, even consider all of their greatness right there.
Oh, and by the way, he's 43 too, so like, you got to do this now.
He knows the clock is ticking. Everyone does. Despite what Tom's face may say about the situation, the body is only going to get older and older as this thing goes on. Shocking revelations here from Chiney and Golic Jr. Time works.
You know
and
what's kind of funny?
Old.
If you take him outside of sports, it's like, that's a really good looking 43-year-old. But you put him in sports and it's like, oh, we're counting.
How is he going to be able to survive this hellish escapade at an ancient 43 years old? It's going to be interesting. We'll talk a lot more about the life after for the relationship like Brady and Belichick's. And can you navigate it much better than they have? Are these just the growing pains that we should expect versus teams that have continuity on their side in everyone that we've mentioned as going to be their foes in this situation? But coming up next, there's been a reigning champion that's had an incredibly active offseason in the NBA on more than one front. We'll check in with an all-time great from the Lakers franchise to see if he likes the direction they're going in. That's coming up next. It's Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Unusual bubble season, usual champion. Does that mean we just run it back for the repeat in 2021? It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Janae Gwumike. And in a minute, we'll hopefully get to talk to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, all-time Laker and just NBA legend in general, about the state of this team this offseason. Because, Janae, as we look at what they've managed to accomplish, obviously the championship for LeBron James and company, bringing the Lakers back to prominence is huge. But Rob Pelinka and company have not sat on their hands and been idle this offseason. How impressed have you been by what the Lakers have managed to pull off so far? Yeah.
Can we give snaps to Rob Pelinka, like, stepping into the hot seat, right, and delivering? Obviously, there was a transition with one of the other Laker greats, Magic Johnson, but what he was able to do, especially last year, super impressive. But now, even building on that, like, foot on the gas, okay? And so, you know, by adding Dennis Schroeder and adding Montrezl Harrell, you sort of get younger where the Lakers were older, in a specific way where these guys both had career six-man type years. Dennis Schroeder averaging 18 points per game, you know, as a six-man. And then you've got Montrezl, who was six-man literally from, you know, handed off from Lou Will and the Clippers. And he's providing a youthful exuberance, especially at the center now that you've lost Dwight Howard. So the Lakers have retooled, and I've said, like, they've already won,
and it seems to only keep going in that direction now. So let's keep it going with that. We're delighted to be joined now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line by NBA all-time leading scorer Kareem Abdul-Jabbar with us here. And Kareem, as we were just talking about the Lakers' success this offseason, for you as one of the all-time greats in this franchise, how excited are you about the direction they have gone now with LeBron James at the helm here?
Well, I think they're doing the right things. You know, they have to put themselves in the position to get the good players. So by getting some help in terms of depth and bench strength, you know, they'll be able to hold on to AD. I think that's a very important signing for them, to sign him up for a nice long time. And, you know, other younger, better players will want to come and play with him. So I think that all that should work for them.
Absolutely, especially with Anthony Davis tag teaming with LeBron James, that does not hurt for the foreseeable future. Here with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, NBA all-time leading scorer, champion, you name it, here with us on Chinee and Golic Jr., Chinee Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr. with you. Now, speaking of LeBron James, his teammate, his partner in crime, his right hand, LeBron James is at number three in all-time. You are number one with 38,000 points overall. How do you see LeBron James, you know, moving up the ranks and also what he's brought to the game?
Well, LeBron has just had an incredible career, right? Every year of his life has been an exceptional career. He's led his team to the NBA Finals and got them over the finish line. And that's a testimony to one of the greats of the game.
Kareem, I'm curious, there's greats of the game, and then there's a different category of Laker greats. And how do you feel like this franchise will ultimately rank LeBron or hold LeBron in its history, knowing what folks like you, Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal, and others that were more Laker lifers in a lot of ways accomplished in that uniform specifically?
Well, you know, the whole idea of Laker greatness goes all the way back to the beginning of the franchise. 1947, Lakers were really the first dynasty. I think they won five world championships in Minneapolis. So, you know, they had that tradition. And people like to fit into that type of tradition. It's like what the Yankees got going in baseball. You know, it's the same thing.
The one and only Kareem Abdul-Jabbar here with us on Chinee and Golic Jr. Now, Kareem, you know, this summer has been really unique. Mike Golic Jr. and I have been straight from locker rooms, and we knew that this summer the opportunity was to play for more than just basketball, more than just sports and social justice. And you have been doing that over the course of your life. How did you see the athletes evolving into, you know, activists in that moment, knowing that that's not necessarily how society seems or expects them to do this, but it's their responsibility in that moment?
Well, I think it's really the continuation of a long tradition. You know, Jackie Robinson breaking the color line to integrate professional baseball really is part of it. We can go from there, we can go backwards, we can go forwards. But Black Americans have had to struggle for equality and respect. And LeBron is part of that tradition. He understands what that is very keenly, and he embraces it.
Now, Kareem, I know that's obviously been a huge part of your life and your life's work, but you're here today on behalf of something pretty cool and a project that you're a part of. What can you tell us about that?
Well, Bruce Lee would have been 80 years old on November 27th. So I'm partnering with his family business to start a clothing line that will promote social justice and social activism in a very positive way. And talking with Shannon Lee and other family members, it's been wonderful. And we got some really interesting wear to put on, you know, all the way from caps and T-shirts, hoodies, you name it. It's a nice conglomeration of activewear, and I think people should check it out.
Absolutely excited to check that out, Kareem. And on that front, you're still clearly actively engaged in all this. You've seen the way athletes have taken to these causes so much. I'm curious for you, as someone who's seen this over the course of your whole life, are you encouraged by what you've seen, the athlete involvement for this, and the public reception of it at this point?
I'm very encouraged by the public reception of it, because I didn't know how things were going to shape. Especially after the murder of Mr. Floyd. And the way America responded, it was a very clear choice that they had to make, and they did not see that as being what America should stand for. People should not have to fear their police departments. And the fact that Americans could embrace that and not feel like they were betraying anything, that made me feel very good. For me to see Black Lives Matter protests in all white neighborhoods was extraordinary. And I was happy to know that I don't live in a country that was headed toward some very nasty possibilities, you know, even including fascism. That was, for a while, that wasn't out of the question. And I'm glad we've had a clear delineation of who we are.
Absolutely, and that's something that you've certainly been a part of for a long time, and what we've seen culminate in everything this summer and will continue to see go on here. Kareem, we appreciate the time and all the insight today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you, and if you want to learn about anything that I'm doing, go to KareemAbdul-Jabbar.com. You can find out about the activewear line and where I am and what I'm doing, and I'm still here.
and we are certainly thankful for that. All-time NBA legend, NBA all-time leading scorer, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, joining us here on Chiney and Golic Jr. We really appreciate the time, Kareem. Now, coming up next, as we look ahead to what's coming up this evening, we got the College Football Playoff Committee meeting for the first time in here. A lot to certainly get to on that front. Try and figure out, is this finally the year where someone outside of the Power 5 can work their way in? We will talk to an expert about how we make that happen next.
Anarchy.
after some anarchy and this word from AT&T.
Now, there are a lot of reasons to like AT&T 5G, to love AT&T 5G. For example, maybe you're Usain Bolt in the 100-yard dash, then you'll like AT&T 5G because it's fast. Maybe you're Steve Nash with the rock in the pick and roll, then you'll like AT&T 5G because it's secure. Or maybe you're LeBron James or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and you haven't missed a game in 17 years. Then you'll like AT&T 5G because it's reliable. Switch to AT&T 5G. It's fast, secure, and reliable, and now nationwide. AT&T 5G, it is not complicated. 5G requires a compatible plan. 5G may not be in your area. See AT&T.com/5G for you for 5G coverage details. Back after this, it's Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Day two of Dabo still saying things about Florida State. Will it continue as we hit Wednesday of this week? Only time will tell. It's Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chiney Agwumake. And Chiney, it is a big night tonight. It is honestly a day I think a lot of us weren't sure we would get to, the College Football Playoff Committee actually meeting together to give us the first round of their rankings in this spot. Right as we're getting on the cusp of college basketball season started, college football finally trying to push toward the finish line here.
This is so exciting. Like you said, didn't know we'd get there, but also I'm really glad that we're still having top teams that deserve to be there, meaning like COVID hasn't derailed completely everything. We see a lot of the top talent, you know, when it comes to teams reflected, hopefully tonight.
It's going to be interesting to watch tonight. So again, that's coming up later on. The committee is getting together in person, which is kind of strange considering the times that we're in right now. I don't know why you couldn't do it over Zoom, but those aren't decisions I'm allowed to make. And so to help us make sense, make it make sense, we're delighted now to welcome in on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line Richard Johnson, who you can catch on the SEC Network every week as part of Thinking Out Loud with Spencer Hall and Alyssa Lang, as well as listen to on the podcast Split Zone Duo, wherever you get your podcasts. And Richard, we appreciate the time today, man. I'm curious, as someone who is as dialed into college football as you are, is there one thing in particular you're looking forward to the most tonight, information-wise, to get out of the playoff committee's first round of rankings?
Well, I will say, brother, you're going to have to find somebody else who can make it make sense, because I can't do it. I'll say that right now. I don't know. I just don't really have any idea how you – I don't have any idea how you rank some of these. Like, Clemson, we've both, all three of us think of Clemson what we think of them, yet they haven't played in 2 weeks, right? BYU's schedule, Cincinnati's schedule, A&M, who everybody's saying A&M's really good, okay, and everybody's saying A&M's got a quality loss, which I fundamentally disagree with, because I don't think a quality loss is getting beat by 30 points in a game that probably should have been worse if you actually watch it back. Clemson's the one with the quality loss right now. You know, going to Notre Dame on the road without one of the best players in college football and losing the game in overtime. That's what a quality loss looks like. So I just have no idea what, you know, what tonight is going to be. I think it's pretty carte blanche. And, you know, and things change so much from week to week in the sport with the schedules and everything like that, all the gymnastics that we're all going to. So I don't know. Maybe we'll get a straight answer for the committee about how they arrived at the rankings they give us tonight. But like everything in this year, it is all up for grabs, and it will all change, and maybe radically, next Tuesday night when we get together again.
Richard Johnson, SEC Network analyst, here with us on Chene and Golic Jr., giving us the truth serum in my Hunger Games, because it really feels like the season for all sports is Hunger Games. Richard, can you sort of help us and try to effort us as you take us inside, you know, the room where the committee plans to try to decipher what they want to do with undefeateds like Cincinnati or BYU?
I will say, first and foremost, I don't understand why they're actually meeting in a room. Like, can we get on a Zoom? It'll be password protected. Everybody's working from home. Even as of now, I think with BYU and Cincinnati, both of them have been, I don't want to say equally dominant, because I think Cincy, for instance, like, Cincy left some meat on the bone on Saturday. And I think when you're trying to parse who's been more dominant or how they've been more dominant, I think Cincy, with how they managed the end of the game against UCF, they sort of took an analytical approach and tried to sort of get the biggest win probability and just get out of Orlando with a win, and didn't try to necessarily rack up the score. And you know, they won that game by 3. They probably should have won the game by 10. They were quite literally on the goal line as time expired. That is fundamentally different from how BYU was just sort of tearing teams limb from limb. I mean, they only had one close game. When we talk about strength of schedule and all that sort of stuff, I guess those are the things that you have to try to, because BYU and Cincinnati's strength of schedule is so close, I think you have to try to look in, you know, read between the lines in how they are beating these teams. And that dominance of final score, that's the thing that I think you look at. I think that BYU is uniquely suited, in my opinion, to potentially be the fourth team in the playoffs, so to speak, because as we look back on the last few years of playoffs, the air quotes fourth team, which is sort of the team that we all think is the fourth best out of the four, it's been a quantum leap between them and the other three in quarterback play and offensive line play and defensive line play, trench play. I think BYU is very, very different in that regard. Zach Wilson is an incredible quarterback. He's probably going to be a top 10 draft pick, but they've got some hosses in the trenches as well. So I think BYU could be a different fourth team in a sense of they could actually put up a fight in a semifinal against number one.
Certified beef up front for BYU, no doubt about it. Richard Johnson with us here again, part of SEC Network's Thinking Out Loud, as well as Split Zone Duo, wherever you get your podcast. Now, in non-playoff related news, Richard, we do kind of feel like have to address somehow Dabo Swinney is still talking about what went on with Florida State this past weekend, seems so hung up on it. Why do you think this is such an issue with him in this particular instance where it's Tuesday of a week where they theoretically get to play a game again and we've still got these words coming out of his mouth?
And that is the thing that I think is most confusing to me about the whole deal. Now, I will say, today's comments were kind of funny. Sunday's comments, I whatever. But today's comments were a little funny. Sort of needled Florida State, but they've had three coaches in 4 years or whatever. Okay, that's fine. So what you bring up there, Mike, I think is the most confusing thing about it. Man, it's Tuesday. You've got a game in 5 days. Why not just say, we're on to Pitt, we're moving on to Pitt, we're turning the page, the Florida State thing is in the past, and Coach Norvell could say whatever he wants, but I'm moving my team on to Pitt. I don't get the value add here about, again, bringing it again into the news cycle. It doesn't make sense to me. Now, I understand you're caping for your medical staff and your team and the culture and all this sort of stuff and you know, making sure everybody knows that Clemson was as COVID compliant as they needed to be given the protocols. I understand all that. But and I know that he was asked about it this morning and that it wasn't the general tenor of the press conference. But to me, I'm just like, it's Tuesday of game week. At some point in time, man, move on.
You would think that would be the order, but we will wait with bated breath to see if Wednesday brings us any more of the same. Again, everyone check out Thinking Out Loud on the SEC Network, Spencer Hall, Alyssa Lang, Richard Johnson, and also download Split Zone Duo wherever you get your podcast. Richard, we appreciate the time, man.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Awesome stuff from Richard. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today to find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. Coming up next, should we just start prepping for May Madness? Because the start of college hoop season already feels like we are stumbling out of the blocks. We will get to that mess next. It's Chinay Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chinay Ngola Jr., the podcast.
Coming up, about 10 minutes. You guys think Bill Belichick and Tom Brady still text? Like every once in a while, you just like old muscle memory, you like fire off that text to your ex, and it's a little spicy sometimes?
Let me tell you, I bet you both of them sent each other, hey, big head text.
like
they're missing each other right now.
It is getting around that time. Chinay Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Chinay, that Wednesday night before Thanksgiving gets risky back in the day. Now, this year, no one's really supposed to be doing anything, and no one's really even going home for Thanksgiving. But back in the day when people used to go out on that night, you were making some mistakes.
And not only that, like, you have family there, so if you bring someone home, that person better be, as you said earlier in the show, certified. And so, like, yeah, you have to calculate.
Oh, no, I mean, listen, to be clear, I don't advise you bringing anyone home the night before Thanksgiving and having to deal with that. Like, dropping that grenade in the middle of your house full of relatives? Nah, that's an easy way to get yourself, like, you already, Chinay, I don't know about you, I try to avoid being the topic of conversation at Thanksgiving dinner, the oldest and being the single child in the family. I don't know how you are in that, but that is a recipe for disaster you just described.
We're one and the same, but I thought you liked anarchy.
Not that kind. I like the kind of anarchy that has to do with other people. I like people to be messy that I get to watch. I don't want to be in the middle of the mess.
Well, do you know what's anarchy right now? Coming up?
Go ahead.
College hoops.
I hate you. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. College basketball season is already not great, and it hasn't even really fully started. At last check, Chinay, We have had 22 games canceled or postponed, including a number of the tournaments in the preseason or the beginning of the season that were supposed to see large swaths of team. Duke, one of the most notable programs, moved its game that was supposed to be against Gardner-Webb tomorrow, now going to be playing Sunday this weekend against Coppin State. All of it, Chinay, for a sport that has the get-out-of-jail-free card. Like, man, March Madness is going to be safe. We're going to bubble everyone there. We're going to try our best to keep the cash cow alive. I already have very serious doubts about how consistent, if at all, the road looks like getting there.
Yeah, and the problem in hearing that, okay, we have this plan for March Madness, I was like, where's that same energy when it comes to the season tip? Because it's funny, they actually pushed the season tip back in college hoops from November 10th to start now this week. And now they have the hope that, like all of us saw, when you have holidays like Halloween and students are on campus, it's hard to keep control. But now you're going to Thanksgiving, people are going home. Still, the students are just not leaving for Thanksgiving. And so they're dealing with real situations. And I've seen that more than 40 programs out of the 357 in D1 are either on pause or not playing. And now we're seeing why. Because it's really hard to pull off. You know, when you have football, and we've seen football, NFL and all that type of stuff, college football as well. We've seen the plethora of numbers where you have more bodies, right? In basketball, usually I think there were 15 people on our roster. Some schools can get up to 17 when it comes to walk-ons, but like 15. And if you have a number of people, you can get down to a small group of people. And then you wonder, are you even equipped to play? Because your girl, I mean, if this is the reason why I get to start at point, maybe it's like me living my best life in the immediate future. But realistically, this system, it just looks like even with all the headway, isn't this a common theme, Junior? The long headway, you would think that we'd find better ways for things to happen. It seems like problems are still persisting.
Chinay Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And yeah, I think that's the frustrating part for a lot of people. But you mentioned, like, I think I saw the Big 12 the other day. If you've got six scholarship players eligible, you're good to go in their eyes to play some of these games. And so you're right. It doesn't matter what the composition of that looks like. And so it's got people already asking questions about what the long-term view for the season should look like. And Rick Pitino, Iona's head coach, obviously a notable name in the world of college basketball, joined Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on Friday and talked about what he believes should be the solution for this season.
Well, two things. The ACC first, two ideas I tried to follow up on. One was the ACC coaches came out and said every team should be in the NCAA tournament. I'm all in with that. Nothing to do with Iona. The reason for that is so many seniors, students, just forget about athletes now, students, have missed out in their senior year. I think for one time in our college lifetime, every team gets in. Every senior student now can root for their school. It would be exciting for everybody all the way around to get in the tournament because they're going to miss out on their senior year. A lot of athletes are going to miss out on a lot of games, and they get the opportunity to play in the NCAA. I thought the ACC coaches had a great suggestion there. I think it'll be very exciting and a great shot in the arm for college basketball. In terms of what I call May Madness, I think the vaccine, I'm basing it all on the vaccine. I think the vaccine will be given to the right people in December. I think it will be given to the general public in April. I think come the end of March, beginning of April, we will start to see a curve the right way for us. And I think college basketball can get through it and just like the NBA, go into that bubble healthy, maybe even have fans in May. I think right now, you know, with what we're going to go through in February, March, it's going to be very difficult on all of us.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Chinay, any part of that resonate with you, this idea of trying to game the calendar in favor of a hope for a vaccine?
I don't know. The vaccines are like above my pay grade. But what I will say is when it comes to the NCAA tournament, I'm here for as many teams as possible. And we've seen this happen with the NFL even potentially trying to go up to 16 based on postponements or potential cancellations. NBA bringing more teams into the bubble. That was largely the Zion factor, which was cool. But it delivered more interest, you know, going into the playoffs. So having situations where more players get to play, I feel like that's the reward. That's the right reward for athletes that are making the brave decision to try to play in the middle of coronavirus where health is your concern. So I'm here for an NCAA tournament. I just am like, if that's going to happen, like, you and I are going to probably be on the call. Like, ND games, Stanford games, you and I both, like, everybody gets a game.
It is going to be interesting how all hands on deck something like that goes. And I think the difficult part with all of that, Chinay, is trying to wait for outside forces to bail us out is kind of how I feel like the sports calendar is gone for most leagues, where they say, well, it'll be better eventually. And then when it's not, they're like, oh, we didn't prepare for this. So if you're the NCAA, whatever the solution's going to be, lock it in now, because a longer timeline doesn't necessarily rid you of a lot of problems. It just gives you less time to solve them in a lot of instances when you finally get to that zero barrier. So we'll have a lot more on that coming up, because the problems for college basketball, if every other league so far has been an indication, are only just getting started. But the problems were on full display last night for one NFL team. Is an old relationship worth rekindling? We'll get to that next. It's Chenangle Jr. on ESPN Radio.